reiterate and add more to it, the foundation of the doctrine. So baptism is the foundation, according to Hebrews chapter 6. It's the New Testament foundation. Everyone must know about baptism and what baptism is all about. And we found that lots of folks don't understand what baptism is. And in fact, some people say that if you're not baptized, you're not going to heaven. Well, that's not true. You can go to heaven without having being baptized. Baptism is an ordinance that God asks us to perform or to acknowledge that we must do it because it's good for us and good for other people to understand. It reminds you, when you're baptizing, what Jesus did for you. When you go down in the water, it symbolizes you died with Jesus. When Jesus went on a cross, and he died spiritually and physically. Like if Jesus just died physically, it wouldn't serve you any good if he didn't die spiritually, because spiritually, that's where it all occurred first. It all happened in the Garden of Eden, the first Adam. Jesus is called the second Adam. The first Adam died, I believe it's Genesis 2:17. Says the first Adam died because he disobeyed God in the garden. And he died, the Bible says, when Adam disobeyed and he partook and disobeyed God, he died. He said, Adam died then. And if you're not careful to understand this, he didn't die over several hundred years later. They were not talking about physical death there. So spiritual death came into man and humanity and all of men, all people of the world, and then came physical death. So physical death was the consequence of spiritual death. So when Jesus redeemed us, he redeemed us first spiritually. Then, of course, because of different things, we can believe God for healing or prolong our lives. If you read the Bible in Genesis, if you read the Bible in Proverbs, you understand that you can add to your life. Otherwise, if you couldn't add to your life, why would doctors help you? If God wanted you to die a certain time if God ordained a specific time for you to die on a certain day, then doctors would be going against God's will. If God deemed you to die when you're 47 and the doctors help you live till you're 30, 3 more years or so, and they'd be going against God's will. No, God wants everybody to live long life. And that long life is determined by every one of us. We determine how long we want to live. For instance, Paul said, I desire to be with Christ, which is far better. I could go and I could stay. So it was his determination. God determines us how we're going to live and the quality of life we should live. And I think we should follow different things, natural things, to help ourselves live healthy in our older age. If we learn to live well now, we had a teacher who was 90-something years old, and Rhema, he was teaching, he became saved when I think in his 60s, and he became one of the teachers at Rhema and for some number of years, and he died in his 90s. And he said, if I had known how to take care of myself as a younger person, I would have done that, because what I did when I was a younger affected me now as an older person. And so, listen, I'm not sure what to tell you. you don't want to get into people's lives. I mean, we have to whatever God's telling you to do to help yourself live better. Like if you're wrecking your life and you live long suffering, then don't blame the devil for it or God, because you're the one that made those decisions to smoke cigarettes or not eat certain foods or whatever. So we need to follow a certain kind of diet at some time. So it's okay to eat certain foods, but not too much of it, like ice cream. I love ice cream. Some people say, I want to quit coffee, but they eat a pail of ice cream every night to compensate their one sin to the other sin. So, Okay, Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ. You see the word principles of the doctrines of Christ. It's important to understand that's what he's talking about. He said, let us go on to perfection, or the word perfection means maturity. See, you could grow from the foundation unto maturity. So everybody has to have a foundation. And how many people understand? Scripture tells us to have a strong foundation in our belief system. Otherwise, if you don't build a strong foundation, you do that for a number of years. Somebody comes along, says one thing, and throws you off a course. You thought you were doing good, but you weren't. So build a strong foundation. And it's also said, let us go into perfection, not laying again. Notice that the foundation. Again, he talks about the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of the doctrines, of the doctrine of baptisms, plural. So there's more to discuss about baptism, not just one water baptism, but the baptism as a whole teaching. What does it talk about? And the laying on of hands. Say, if you don't understand the baptism of what Holy Spirit did for you when you received Jesus Christ, that's the first baptism you receive. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit baptized you, spiritually speaking, and he put you into the body of Christ. And when you died, you were dead, first of all, before Jesus came in your life. You were dead. You were spiritually dead. Ephesians 2 and 2 says that we were all spiritually dead. We're separated from God, just like Adam was in the garden. Jesus comes along and said, you must be born again because we were dead spiritually. You were the walking dead. Literally the walking dead. You're alive. You can see you looking at me, your eyes looking at me, but you're dead spiritually before Jesus came. That's why the Bible says if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:7, he is a new creation. A new creation. So you become new when Jesus comes in there. The Bible talks about that one day when the Holy Spirit came down where Jesus was in the lower regions, the Bible says he quickened Jesus, made Jesus alive, that's found in the book of Romans, made Jesus alive in a moment of time. At that very moment that Holy Spirit made Jesus alive, in the mind of God, he made you alive when you received Jesus Christ. So that is the significance of baptism. The first baptism we have to understand. So if you don't understand that, you're not just forgiven when you come to Jesus. You are a new creation. The devil has no authority over you. He can't lord over you anymore. He cannot make you smoke tobacco or chew snuff. He can't make you do those things. Overeat candy, whatever it is. Like, we have the power in us now with the power of God to decide to do what we have to do. I was listening to, it's a funny thing, I was listening to Keith Moore's wife, I forget her name now, Phyllis. And she tried all kinds of diets for years. We've known about Phyllis years and years ago. She had this weight problem. He said, believe you me, I tried every kind of diet you can mention. I tried this kind of diet, that kind. I mean, several kinds of diets. If you go to the United States, you'll find all kinds of diets you never knew about. Just as many there are people. And she said, the only diet I was able to ever have success in is the God diet. And that is finding out who I am, what I can do, and have authority over my own body, over my own appetites. All over in here. I was listening to something the other day about, they were talking about diets on television. And they were saying, you got to have this kind of diet and that kind of diet for athletic people. And, they're doing like one family. I was on CBC last night. One family was spending like $40,000 to $60,000 a year on one kid a year on his diet. Training had that person to become a professional hockey player. So they're doing that now. They have professional people that are helping kids. and they bring them to all these training schools, and they're doing also these diets for kids so they can become better athletically and stronger. So that the children will be stronger. By the way, we went to see a game yesterday, a little fellas game. It was so exciting to see them play hockey. Like, I felt like I'm going to put on my skates and start skating out there. You know that smell of sweat and old hockey gloves and everything came to me all of a sudden. I felt like, man, I want to go skating again. So you got to be careful about your senses. Because if you walk by some place, you know, that's why you don't. Let me tell you some story about this diet business. Diet business. We're talking about baptism and diet business. This man, he was able to quit using alcohol. He could not have any victory over it. He decided that he couldn't go to church because along his way to the church was a liquor store. And so every time he drove by the liquor store to go to church, to the liquor store, he said, man, I just this feeling come over me. I got to stop and get myself a six-pack or something. And so he had to fight against that desire, this compulsion to use again. So he said, you know, I decided I'm going to do whatever it could to not use alcohol anymore. So he took it a long way to the church. So sometimes we have to take the long way. If you want it, how bad do you want it? Right? How bad do you want it? So, the doctrine of baptisms is not talking about just water baptism here. So there's more significantly a teaching that we should all become familiar with. And it goes on laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. So by the time we get to eternal judgment, I think we'll be ready in this church for other teachings about, you know, some people like to start with eternal judgment right away and start, you know, telling people how bad they are. You know how bad you really are? You know, we don't have to tell people that. They know how bad they are. Yeah? Matthew 28, the Bible, Jesus encourages the disciples or the apostles to go and baptize people. So we know that water baptism is significant to the church because Jesus gave that instruction. And so we said water baptism, the whole idea of water baptism is significant. It's a significant ordinance. Like, you know, we will take this morning the emblems, the signals or the signs of what it's all about Jesus' birth and the blood of Christ, Jesus' death and the blood of Christ and the body. So water baptism is an ordinance, a very important ordinance that every believer must understand because it identifies us with the death and the burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking specifically here about water baptism. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. And so the question was before, can I go to heaven? Can I be accepted by God if I didn't get baptized? Well, yes, you can. And some people argued that you have to be water baptized in order to be saved. Well, that would not work out with the rest of the Bible if you studied the Bible and understand that it's an ordinance. Jesus asked us to do it. It's not a requirement to salvation. Otherwise, it would be works then. So many people do not understand the significance of water baptism and that it's a foundational teaching for every believer to know about. We need to learn what the scriptures say. So the word baptize or baptism is the Greek word baptizo. Phonetically, you pronounce it baptizo. And it means to immerse or submerge. That means to be completely put under the water. So sprinkling and squirting water on you is not really water baptism. When the Holy Spirit took your spirit, he put you into the body of Christ. He didn't put your feet in or your forehead. So that wouldn't signify really what your born-again experience is. So First of all, you get born again. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the spiritual body of Christ. That happens spiritually. There's a, what they call the circumcision. Spiritual circumcision happens. Then when you go get water baptized, you're agreeing with God. What happened to you spiritually? So when you get water baptized, you're just saying, yep, I did get born again. When Jesus died, I died with Jesus. When Jesus went to hell, I went there with him. When Jesus rose from the dead, rose from the grave, I rose from the grave with Jesus. And when Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, he's sitting right there right now. I'm sitting there right now with Jesus. That's what you're saying to the devil. You're saying, I know I have authority over you. Heaven knows I have authority over you. That makes your faith a whole lot stronger than just being sprinkled on the forehead, than just a dry ordinance. So baptism has more power when you understand what it really actually means. Once you understand that, maybe this will bring more meaning in your life today. Maybe it'll help you out a little bit more. So we approach it, you know, we're supposed to approach this water baptism from the standpoint of what the Bible says, not what our church is teaching us, but we should ask our church, is that in the Bible? Where does that say in the Bible? And find out what it says there. So for us in our discussion, we need to be familiarized ourselves with the three baptisms that we need to talk about. People talk about, I had a baptism of fire. Okay, that might be something different, but it's not, you know, a teaching of Christ. Baptism of fire, which is, you know, I went through a trial, a hard time, and so forward. I had lots of crisis in my life, and I'm going through it. I'm having lots of heat here. A baptism of fire, but I'm going through it. Well, there's stuff like that in the Bible, but that's not what we're talking about. So, as we said, the first kind of baptism is when Jesus, or when God puts you into the body of Christ by his Holy Spirit, when you first believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So we saw 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. He says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Which body is he talking about? He's talking about the body of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ. By one Spirit, in other words, the Holy Spirit took your spirit and made it one with the rest of the people in Christ. Like, spiritually speaking, we're all one in Christ right now. We're all one person. Jesus and I, we have the same identity. I'm in Christ. Like, I remember when I first came as a young man, I mean, I had all kinds of ideas about identity. You know, first of all, I'm a First Nation. You know, I need to be understanding about my cultural identity. And I'm okay with my identity, and I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody. I remember one guy says to me, why don't you wear Native jewelry? Well, I don't like Native jewelry. Do you see me wearing Native jewelry? And I saw this little cartoon. It says in there, it showed this man wearing this fancy Native, it looked like a vest, you know, had some significant Native, art on there, and, you know, animals and whatever. And he looks really sharp. This is a picture of when men or people, they get voted into band council. That's what you look like. You have to wear this. So anyway, you don't have to wear anything to be in Christ as far as, you know, your significant identity. You're identified with Christ. If you have an identity Christ says right now, identify yourself in God. Thank God, you know, your culture is not going to save you. It's not going to save you. It's not going to heal you. Thank God for your culture. Thank God for it. And culture is always evolving and always changing. It's not always that pure as you think it is. We all eat pierogies and pizza and so on. You know, like we're becoming one mesh, you know, and everybody's having a bannock burger. They go up there in the mountain and they eat the bannock burger, you know. They call, who in the world ever thought about Indian taco? How crazy is that, Indian taco? Who made Indian taco? Where does taco, that's Mexican, or something like that. And taco, you know. But so, and so everything is borrowed, right? And so, you know, you can get mixed up with identity. So our identity is in Christ. So that's what Jesus did for us, is that we are one in Christ. We're one together. We're identified together as one body. So, you know, in fact, you remember in Acts chapter 9, when Jesus, Paul had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus appeared to him. And he evidently fell off his, I don't know what he was driving at that time, a camel or a donkey horse, whatever it was, a wagon, what he was driving, what he was on. But he fell over, and Jesus appeared to him, and he fell down on the ground, and he couldn't see after. He saw Jesus. Jesus told Paul, "Why are you persecuting me?" In other words, Jesus was nowhere near Paul, physically speaking. But what's Paul doing? He was killing and trying to destroy the church. He was putting people in prison. He was having people stoned to death. And Jesus comes along and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" So in other words, Jesus identifies himself with the church. In other words, the covenant says, if you pick on the church, or pick on me, you're picking on the church, and church is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Isaiah, he says that, about covenant, God says, we are one together. Your enemies is my enemy. If they come against you, they're going to come against me. And if they come against you, they're going to have to deal with me too. That's what the covenant is all about. We're identified as one. So that's wonderful to understand, to know that when the enemy comes against you, just, you know, this whole thing about baptism, understand this, you know, you're one with him in Christ. It's so understand. So here's something you understand. Read this. So I'm not sure we can get through all this stuff here this morning. I want to tell you this. First of all, there are three baptisms. First of all, the first baptism is, first of all, when the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. We see that in that chapter. We just read that verse of Scripture. We see it in Romans as well. The first one is when the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. So Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, we're baptized into the body of Christ. The second baptism is when it's when man baptizes you in water to identify with Christ. And that's what we're talking about. If we ever get there. Because I think, you know, people need to understand all these other things because they don't ever talk about this stuff. Nobody ever talks about it. So Jesus, or at least man like myself, a pastor, which we're going to do for some people, we're going to take you to the pool over here and we're going to baptize you in water. And there you're going to have a strong foundation to understand that, you know, I understand what happened to me in my born-again experience. I'm identified with Jesus. I'm identifying with everything happened to Jesus. I'm identifying with him. That's my testimony right now. And I'm identifying that I'm not going to walk like I used to walk before. I'm not going to live, you know, however God convicts me in my sin, I'm not going to walk that way anymore. I'm going to walk how God, sometimes we come on people, we try to be the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. We tell them what they should be doing. I think we could talk to people. If you have a relationship with people, you should talk to them and ask questions to them. And not to condemn people, but tell them about different things in their lives. In fact, you can go and criticize someone, but they won't listen to you anyway, right? So let the Holy Spirit tell people different things. And there's sometimes we have an opening door to preach to people and different things. So we don't condemn people. They condemn themselves by the way they're acting. They know it. In their spirit, they know it. And you come along, you might confirm it if you talk to them. So we need to understand this process. So man takes you a person of ministry will take you and baptize you in water to symbolize the significance of your spiritual born-again experience and what that entails for the rest of your life. That's the second thing we should understand. The third one is that we talked about it, and we talked about that Jesus, he promised us before he left, he said, I'm going to send you Holy Spirit, and you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So this third baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, or the power of God to come in your life so that you can live victorious with the power of the Holy Spirit. When you start having the Holy Spirit in your life, there is something gigantic that happens in your spirit, in your whole life becomes so much stronger living for God and working against the enemy with the power of God. So let's go and close. We got a couple more minutes here. So we talked about Holy Spirit baptism last week. We saw some people get filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues for the first time. And one individual told me that, you know, this was very, very powerful in their lives. Never had this experience before, and just powerful experience in their life. We'll never forget it. So, Jesus is the head. He's the head of the church. So, who can be baptized? Anybody who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior can be baptized. Someone who's been walking out of fellowship for years and perhaps went back into the world and they lived like they were not even saved and didn't care and didn't care as much and just lived uncarefully. And now they're back in the fold. They're back in church. They're back serving God. They can do their first works over again. There's nothing wrong with it. They can do it. You don't have to, but you can. Like some people say, I said, do I have to tithe? No, you don't have to tithe if you don't want to. You don't have to pray either. You don't even have to come to church. But it's better for you to come to church. It's better for you to pray and better for you to tithe. It helps you a lot better. How many people would say amen about that? Like, you don't have to do all these things, but you can do it. In order to have more strength in your life. Thank God that he's your, you know, Jesus will get me my money back. Amen. thank God for bookkeepers and auditors and whoever looks at my money. But God knows that I get money. They don't understand that people can hand me $500 tomorrow. And if I went to the kitty, somebody will know about it. Eh? Okay, should little babies be baptized? Should we take little infants and say, we're going to baptize you, now you're Christian, you're born again right now. You're going to go to heaven. That's what I was taught. I was taught as in my church, that we take you, my mom and dad took me to the church, they took me to the priest's office. And so they sprinkle water on me and say, Aroma Joseph Fisher is now a child of God. And baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so I lived like the devil for 24 years after that. I ruled and reigned in my home. I made my mother crazy. I crawled on the walls. That's why they gave me the name Monkey. And they called me this name because I was absolutely a wangle. I got born again. And I had a wonderful time in Christ. So we don't baptize babies. We dedicate babies. Because babies have no sin. They have no consciousness of sin. They've never sinned. Babies cannot sin. So why would you baptize the baby? And so it's when the Bible says is when someone becomes conscious of sin, they really understand right and wrong in front of God, then that's when they say, I need a Savior. I need to be born again. So some people, that happens at 6, 7, 8 for some people, 10 years old. Then they realize I need to get saved. So that's when you got saved. It happens differently for different folks. You can't say everybody that's 7 years old and under needs to be. No, it happens to different ones depending on the light they had in their home. You could be 12 years old before that happens to you. So thank God that we can all have that experience. So is there a right formula? Here's where we had another fight with some Jesus-only people. He said, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name only if you to go to heaven, to be born again. And so people say, you know, So all you guys, we have to do it all over again. You were baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we said this way, we're going to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then in Jesus' name. Make sure you got everything right. And so if you had to be baptized in Jesus' name only, then that would be something extra that they added on there. But we do everything in Jesus' name. Everything. The Bible tells we do everything in the name of Jesus. Did you know that in the Bible? Okay. So the main reason to be baptized is to obey God. To be baptized in water identifies yourself with Christ. You're letting the whole world know that you identify with his death, his burial, and resurrection. That's why you get baptized. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 3 here. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, that glory of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Even so, we should walk in newness of life, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, everybody say our old man, was crucified with him. You know, this is a joke about that old man. How many people understand about the joke about the old man? They said, you see, Paul said, that's one of those infractors or those guys, criminals with Jesus. One of them, we don't know which one, was Paul's dad. He said, my old man was crucified. He said, another area, he said, my old man was crucified with Christ. When we were kids, it was kind of shocking. The kids came home, like my brother would call. I remember the first time my mom ever, my brother would say, call my mother the old lady. Well, you know how that went. Well, my brother is not alive anymore. Well, my mom didn't kill him, but it was close. It was that much. So you call him old man. So you don't call your mother old lady, or some people call their wives old lady. How many of you men call your wife old lady here? Don't raise your hand. Okay. So, but you shouldn't do that. So he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. In other words, you have to understand in baptism, like we said, you know, your old man, when Jesus died and went to hell for you, you went there with him as far as God is concerned. So that you don't have to go there. He did it for you. That's the grace of God at work. So he went there for you and suffered for you. And until God deemed that it was the right thing for how much he should be there. And he brought him back up. So that's what happens in baptism. When you get baptized, is what you're talking about. So you say, why are you repeating this so much? Because people don't understand. They're not as smart as some of you are. There's some people that inherit this 25 times and just recognize it over and over. That's what, you know, I was told at Rhema that one of my Bible school teachers said, you know, I was healed from redundancy by listening to Brother Hagin. Because you hear over and over, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. And sometimes when people go through a hard time, they don't remember this because they just kind of thought, oh, I know that fact. But it doesn't come up out of them alive when they're facing some hard situation. And that's why it's so important to repeat certain things, because you don't always get it the first time. Just because you know a fact in your head doesn't mean you know it in your spirit. Because when a hard time comes, you rise up in the name of Jesus. No, it ain't right. This ain't right. I'm standing against this. See, sometimes we fool ourselves because we think we're smarter than God in some things. I learned some of these things from some of these men of God who's gone on to be with God, with Jesus. So why should we get baptized? Number one, to follow Jesus' example, to fulfill all righteousness according to Matthew 3:15. If Jesus did it, we should do it. He's our example. Jesus answering, Matthew 3:15, Jesus answering and said unto him, suffered to be for now, because when he went to get baptized, the man of God, John the Baptist, says, no, I'm not going to baptize you. You should be baptizing me. No, Jesus said, hey, listen. Let's fulfill all righteousness right now. Baptize me. He did it for us to show us an example of humility and obedience to God. And he said, thus it become us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him and we allowed him to. So in other words, you will fulfill this righteousness of what God said to do. Number two, why should you, a Christian should be baptized? To obey Christ's command. Matthew 28:19 says, go into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19. So we obey what Jesus said to do it, to get baptized. If you're not baptized, you should get baptized to obey what Jesus said and to obey God. And number three, or number C, you must get baptized. Believers must do the Word of God, or all the Word of God, to please God. Here it says, here's a scripture for it, Matthew 8:37. We do it to do the Word, or to act on the Word of God, to please God. Philip said, Acts 8:37, Philip said, if thou believe with all your heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So in conclusion, baptism, we identify with Jesus or Christ. Baptisms serve as a significant reminder of what Jesus did for us when he came to save us. So that's why we should follow his command to be baptized in water. The end. So let's get these symbols of the Last Supper. And we're going to take this together. If you have children, you can you understand your children. Thank God for it. Strike up a note. Thank God. You can stand up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the baptism. I've been baptized into the body of Christ. I've been baptized in water. And I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm full of the power of God. Full of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank God. I need you to tell all your cousins to come to church. I know you got lots of cousins. If you don't have any friends, at least you have cousins. Bring them to church. Let's get them all baptized. Get them in the water. Get them into Christ. Bring all the detox people. All our First Nations brothers and sisters and all our family and friends. Thank God for baptism. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to hopefully the people who didn't hear about baptism need to hear about it, so they can get this into their spirit. Thank God for His holy word. The last night Jesus was with His disciples, He told them that to do this. When Jesus was with His disciples, he broke bread with them, and He told them about He would die and shed His blood, and they should eat His body, drink his blood. But Paul the Apostle was not in that meeting, in that Last Supper. He was not there. But later, Jesus appeared to Paul and began to open up even more his mind about what happened. Those disciples didn't understand. They didn't have that understanding like Paul did. Paul had more revelation. And so Jesus, in the 11th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, it talks about that Paul said, the Lord appeared to me and he told me about this ordinance that we should do. We're knowing that any day that Jesus could come, any day. Somebody said you should live like every day Jesus is coming. Get ready like he's coming every day. Get ready every day like Jesus is going to come today. I look at pictures, you know, and I look at different pictures I had in my Facebook and different ones like that, different things. I see people that are not here anymore that used to be here. And they could have lived longer. We don't know why. I mean, it's up to them between God. But in case you're sick, understand that Jesus' body was broken for you. According to 1 Peter 2:24, that by his stripes you've been healed. According to Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, the latter section of verse 16, it said in there, that Jesus, he was to fulfill what he said in the Old Testament, that he died, suffered for our sicknesses, our pains, and our sins. So when we take this, we're symbolizing the body of Jesus, but also understanding the body of Christ right here, right now. Everybody is your neighbor. And friend, if you got anything happening wrong with you guys over here, you're mad at somebody, you got a grudge, it's time to let it go right now. Drop it, let it go. Say, Father, I want to thank you. I'm going to forgive Pastor. Pastor Ken, and really lots for Pastor Steve. But Pastor Dave's okay. No, you have to forgive people. Forgive your wife and husband, honey. I forgive you. I didn't take you out yesterday. No, you forgive me. I forgive you. But anyway, you break that, that's the broken body of Jesus. Go ahead, do it. He shed his blood for you. Let's go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful privilege of being in the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, so much. And we're born again. We give you praise. Can you just praise him for a few seconds? Thank him. Thank him for your salvation. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank God that you have victory over the devil. Thank God that you have a life that's heaven. Heaven, there's a place for you in heaven. Thank God that you can be free today. That all your needs can be met today. That Jesus is the good shepherd. Come on now. Oh, he's the good shepherd. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. I want to make sure right now, I want you to close your eyes for 1 minute just to make sure if someone's not right with God, this is the time to do it right now. Everybody close your eyes. Nobody walking around for one second. Just 1 second. Just close your eyes. I want to ask anybody in this room right now, if you're not right with God and you've been away from Jesus, you've been living on your own, this is a good time to come back to God publicly. When you do it publicly, you're absolutely serious about your walk with God. Now, you could do it all alone right there in your chair. Yes, you can do it, but there's something stronger of doing it publicly. Yes. Is there somebody here right now, you've been away from God or you've never had the chance to be born again, to be saved? If that's you right now, lift your hand way up high. I want to pray with you right now. Just say, Pastor, I need to get born again. I've never been born again. I've never come to Christ. If that's you right now, is there anybody here in that room? Okay, thank God. Thank God. The second thing I want to ask you, if there's somebody in this room right now, you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you want to be baptized with the Spirit, I'm going to ask you right now, lift your hand up right high. I want to pray with you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's you. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Is there somebody here that said, Pastor, I need you to lay hands on me. I've been believing God. I've been standing in faith. But I need you to agree with me in faith I did pray already. I did release my faith. I just want you to come and help me right now to lay hands on me, to believe God with me, because I believe I'm healed, but I believe you can help me right now with your faith. Is there somebody right here right now? Just lift your hand way up high and say, Pastor, I want to get prayed for my healing because I have something that I need to believe God for. Is there somebody right there? Thank you, sir. Anybody come up here? Anybody else? Thank you. Come up here right now. I'm going to trust God with you. Anybody here like that? Come on forward. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? You say, I'm believing and trusting God right now for my healing. Come on up right now as quickly as you can. The anointing is here. I'm anointed to do it. God asked me to do it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I want everybody to stretch your hands forward to trust God with me and for them right now that they will be saved and they will be saved from the physical bondages. Stand right here. Gene, can you stand over here? Thank God. Can you make it? Thank God. Amen. Is it a little heavy here? Yes. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we're going to lay hands on these people. But Jesus said, you shall lay hands on the sick and you will recover. Now, I want to understand this. If you have any kind of thing wrong, and there are bondages in you happening in your life, you can't stop eating food. You can't stop. You have something wrong with pornography. You can't get off the internet. You can't live without internet. I'm going to pray for you right now. That's all of you. Amen. Father, I'm going to pray for Bill right now. Bill, I lay hands on you. I'm believing God that whatever situation in your life, I'm trusting God that 1 Peter 2024 is real in your life, will happen right now. I lay my hands on you in faith, believing according to that word. In Jesus' name, there goes that anointing. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That heavy, heavy anointing to drive out sickness in your body. Drive out sickness in your body to cure you from all the ills. In Jesus' name. Gene, I lay my hands on you by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That's the Makashiti. I lay my hands in faith and believe in God with you that healing is yours according to the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I lay my hands on you, Peter, in the name of Jesus, according to 1 Peter 2:24. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. I believe with him. I'm trusting God is done. I'm sealing my faith with it. I trust the Lord's doing it right now. Oh, there it is. Oh, Jesus, thank you. I lay my hands on you. In the name of Jesus, there's the power of God going inside of you, driving out sickness and disease. Right now, there goes. There goes. There goes. All of it go away. Fly away. Thank God. Thank God. Say, I'm free. And there it is. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. I lay my hands on you in the name of Jesus. According to what Jesus said, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And I believe you recover from all maladies, from all things that would surround you that would be evil and cause sickness and disease and torment and fear and anxiety and all the things that would cause you to be a failure. You're a winner in the name of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Woo! Say, thank God. I'm healed. I'm well. I'm an overcomer. I'm never judged. I'm accepted. I'm not guilty. I'm not condemned. I am a child of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God. Amen.